Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. What do you know about Easter, and is there anywhere in the Bible where God commands us to observe Easter? Easter is supposed to honor the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but what do sunrise services, Easter bunnies, and Easter eggs have to do with the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is one of the greatest events in the history of humankind. As the Apostle Paul writes, "When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, but we shall be saved by His life." That's Romans 5:10. Because Jesus Christ lives, we can have eternal life. We know that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that He is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. But was Jesus raised from the dead on Easter Sunday? And what difference does it make in our worship of God? So how did Easter come to be observed in Catholic and Protestant churches? Do you know that Easter was not widely observed as a Christian holiday until the 4th century? More importantly, the word Easter is not in the Bible. In Acts 12:4 in the King James Version, the word Easter is translated from the Greek word pascha, which is the Hebrew word Pesach, which means Passover. So Paul says that he wants to get there by Passover. The early church historian Eusebius states that the early Christians observed the Passover. The Passover was observed by the early Christians on Nisan, the first month of the sacred calendar, that is on Nisan 14. History tells us that early in the 2nd century, Bishop Sextus of the Church of Rome was the first to disregard the actual day for the observance of the Passover and to celebrate it on Sunday. When the Easter observance was introduced to Rome, it was celebrated the Sunday after the biblically mandated date of Nisan 14. In circa 135 AD, Polycarp, who had been a disciple of John the Apostle, now in his 80s and Bishop of Smyrna, journeyed to Rome. In Rome, he met with Anicetus, Bishop of Rome, to discuss what came to be known as a Quattro Decimum controversy, literally the 14th controversy, having to do with which day will you observe Passover on? Will you observe it on the biblically mandated date of Nisan 14, or will you observe it on the Sunday, that is Easter, on the Sunday after Nisan 14. Polycarp tried to persuade Anicetus from substituting what is celebrated today as Easter Sunday, the first Sunday following the first full moon of the vernal equinox, for the biblically mandated date for Passover on the 14th day of the sacred year. Sadly, Polycarp was not successful in his attempt to persuade Anicetus to remain faithful to the plain teachings of the Bible, so he returned to Smyrna and Ephesus with the disappointing news. But thankfully, the true church, the church of God, continued to worship in accordance with the teachings of Jesus and the Holy Scriptures. Yes, the true name of the church of God is the church of God, as you'll note in Paul's epistles where he addresses the brethren, and he several times calls it the Church of God. In about 190 AD, Victor, Bishop of Rome, called a meeting in which he attempted to settle the still raging dispute between the Western and Asian churches over when the Passover should be observed. So about 50 years after Polycarp had debated the topic with Anicetus at Rome, his successor, Polycrates, boldly confronts the Bishop of Rome over the date of the observance of Passover. Please note, at this point in time, the observance of Easter was not an issue. They were observing Passover as described in the Gospels and also in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where they were taking the bread and wine preceded by the foot washing ceremony, just as Jesus Christ did that night before he was crucified on the day of Passover The next day, he was crucified. So the reason being that the observance, the controversy didn't have anything to do with the observance of Easter, because that was not the issue. The reason being, it had not yet been introduced into nominal Christendom by the Catholic Church. They were debating the date for the observance of Passover, which came to be erroneously called the Lord's Supper, or some call it Communion. It is astounding that the professing Christian world delights in quoting the Apostle Paul when they think it supports their cheap grace, cheap theory of salvation, but when it doesn't, they seem to ignore what the Bible clearly teaches. So let's note what the Apostle Paul writes concerning the observance of Passover. This is in the New Testament. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. For in eating, everyone takes before other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. Then in 1 Corinthians 11, 22, what, have you not houses to eat and drink in, or despise you, the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and blessed it. And Paul goes on to describe the instructions that were given to him by Jesus Christ. The following is an excerpt from a letter sent by Polycrates to Victor at Rome. As for us, then, the Asian churches, we keep the day without tampering with it, neither addressing or subtracting. For indeed in Asia great luminaries have fallen asleep, such as shall arise again on the day of the Lord's appearing, when he comes with glory from heaven to seek out all his saints. Philip, one of the 12 apostles, who has fallen asleep, John 2, he who leaned back on the Lord's breast, he has fallen asleep at Ephesus. Moreover, Polycarp, too, of Smyrna, both bishop and martyr, these all observe the 14th day for the Passover according to the gospel, in no way deviating therefrom, but following the rule of faith. And moreover, I also, Polycrates, the least of you all, do according to the tradition. That's from second century Christianity, page 82. Victor threatened to excommunicate him as a heretic, all of those of the Eastern churches that did not conform to his ruling. Polycrates and his followers continue to observe the 14th day of the first month of the sacred calendar as the beginning of the Passover festival, and thus they were called quarto decimans, after the number 14, by their detractors. Not long after the controversy with Victor, Polycrates, like Polycarp before him, was martyred, a true Christian. For as he said to Victor, better people than I have said, we must obey God rather than men. After years of heated debate, Constantine called a council called the Nicene Council in 325, and they officially ruled at that council, the Nicene Council in 325, that Easter was to be held on the Sunday after the first full moon, after the vernal equinox, which, because of the difficulty in correlating it with the Jewish calendar, gives us a date variation from March the 22nd to April the 25th. The resurrection has been used to justify the celebration of a pagan holiday, and it was used by the Catholic Church to turn Sunday, a pagan worship day, into what they erroneously call the Lord's Day. However, there were those who knew the truth of the Bible. The disciples of John, taught by Jesus Christ, and John taught Polycarp and Polycrates, and they continued the practice that John taught them, the practice that Jesus had taught John. So there were those who knew the truth of the Bible, and continued to observe Passover as Christ had commanded the apostles. In the 4th century, Socrates Scholasticus wrote in his ecclesiastical history, quote, "Neither the apostles, therefore, nor the gospels have anywhere imposed Easter. The Savior and his apostles have enjoined us by no law to keep this feast, Easter." But by 752, the nominal Christian church had totally given up fighting the pagans and began to attach Christian symbols to the elements of this pagan celebration. History tells us that the Puritans who came to America did not celebrate Easter or Christmas. However, after the Civil War, the Protestant churches began to observe them as special days. So how did the Lord's Passover come to be called Easter? Easter is a name directly associated with various pagan goddesses. Spring celebrations continue to be held at Easter, that period of time, to honor various fertility goddesses. Amazingly, in 399, the Theodosian Code banned the observance of pagan rituals during the holy days of Easter and Christmas. However, pagan worshippers were able to continue worshiping Isis by calling their feast by another name, Easter. Saltman, in his book titled On Roman Time, the Codex Calendar of 354 AD, said that the rituals connected with Isis became part of the Easter holiday. At the end of the winter, the season changes because the earth tilts as it rotates on its axis and revolves around the sun. Spring arrives when the sun is over the equator on the first day of spring, known as the vernal equinox, which means spring equal night, both day and night, or an equal 12 hours long. This meant that the long winter nights were over, and that the sun again began to take control. This time was marked by celebrations and festivals to thank the pagan gods. These ancient rituals were fertility festivals observed in hopes that the gods would bless them with fertile flocks and fields. Animal and child sacrifices were offered to the gods to receive this favor. The pagan practice of celebrating the return of the sun at the vernal equinox came into nominal Christianity under the pretense of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus from the dead on Sunday morning. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to explore the origin of Easter. If you would really like to understand what God expects you to do with regard to worshiping Him, does He want you to observe those things that are filled with pagan symbols and practices, or does He want you to worship Him through observing the very days that He revealed to Israel and to the New Testament, the New Covenant Church? If you would really like to understand which days you should observe, then you need to call for our free booklet, Pagan Holidays or God's Holy Days. This booklet will help you understand what God really expects, and it will show you the origin of these pagan holidays and point you to the very truths of God, that precious truth. In fact, these holy days of God reveal the plan of salvation, showing you that God is not a respecter of persons, and that through His great plan of salvation, He is going to make it possible for every person who's ever lived to have an opportunity to be in His kingdom, to be in His very family. So, to receive this free booklet, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays, which ones are you going to observe? All you have to do is call our toll-free number and ask for the Holy Day booklet. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. Is there anywhere in the Bible where Jesus says, or any other writer of the Bible says, that we should observe the day of his resurrection? Is there anywhere in the Bible that says we should have Easter sunrise services? In fact, this is a pagan practice, as we'll see, that Ezekiel condemns in the book of Ezekiel. Is there anywhere where it says, though, that you should observe the resurrection? First of all, there's no record of Jesus or the disciples observing any such holiday, holy day, or Jesus instructing the disciples that after he is resurrected, that they should observe his resurrection to celebrate it with some kind of pagan practice. In fact, when the men and women went to the tomb on the first day of the week, they went there for the purpose of anointing his body. They brought precious spices. They had no idea that he had been resurrected. They were totally surprised. Jesus said the only sign that he was the Messiah was the fact that he would be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He was crucified on Wednesday afternoon, not on Friday afternoon, not on any so-called Good Friday. The booklet will explain this. So once again, you need to call the toll-free number 1-888-886-5614 for this Holy Day booklet that will show you that the resurrection was on a Saturday afternoon late about sunset, and that the crucifixion was on Wednesday afternoon. So after he was in the tomb 3 nights and 3 days, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and all day Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he was resurrected at about sunset on the Sabbath. The name Easter can be traced back to Semiramis, the wife of Nimrod. You can read about Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. He set himself up as a mighty hunter before the Eternal. And after Nimrod died, Nimrod was the one who was the author of Babylonian mystery religion. Actually, it was more his wife after Nimrod died. But after Nimrod died, he was worshipped as the sun god. The sun god was called by various names in various parts of the world. Then after his death, Semiramis had an illegitimate son called Tammuz, who she claimed to be the son of Nimrod. She claimed that he was the promised seed of the woman. As you read in Genesis 3:15, that before God cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, he promised a Messiah. He said the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. That is, put him away into the bottomless pit, as you read about in Revelation chapter 20. So after Tammuz was born, Semiramis demanded that both her and Tammuz be worshipped. Semiramis became known as the Queen of Heaven and was the prototype from which all other pagan goddesses came. The Easter sunrise service was derived from the ancient pagan rite where sun worshippers gathered at dawn with their faces facing toward the rising sun to worship the sun god Baal and his consort, the Easter goddess. Her representation can be seen in the Roman Catholic Church's worship of Mary, who is called the Mother of the Church, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, and the Queen of the Universe. These titles cannot refer to Mary, the Mother of Jesus, because nowhere in the Bible does it even remotely talk about Mary's role in such a way. According to Babylonian tradition, when Tammuz was killed, his mother cried so much that he came back to life. The manifestation of this was the rebirth and blooming of all vegetation in the spring, which came to symbolize his resurrection and why Tammuz is honored in the spring. Very similar is the story in the ancient writings of the Sumerians in Mesopotamia, which said that Tammuz was married to the goddess Ishtar, or pronounced Easter, the mother goddess. when he was killed, she was overcome, so much overcome with grief that she followed him to the underworld. And in her absence, the earth began dying, crops stopped growing, and animals stopped mating. Ea, the god of water and wisdom, sent a message that Ishtar was to be brought back. This messenger sprinkled both Ishtar and Tammuz with the water of life, and they were given the power to return to the light of the sun for 6 months of the year. Then Tammuz would again have to return to the underworld, prompting Ishtar to seek him, and again Ea would have to revive them and retrieve them, and so the cycle is repeated each year. The prophet Ezekiel writes about the women weeping for Tammuz in Ezekiel 8 and verse 12. You should read this for yourself if you're really interested in obeying God and what the Bible says. Then said he unto me, Son of man, have you not seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark, every man in the chambers of his imagery? For they say, the Eternal sees us not, and the Eternal hath forsaken the earth. And that's essentially what people are saying today. He said also unto me, Turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations that they do. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north, and behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Remember, Tammuz was the illegitimate son of Semiramis, who Semiramis claimed was the son of Nimrod, and who she claimed was, in effect, resurrected through Tammuz. Ishtar was also known as Astarte and the Queen of Heaven, the consort of the Chaldean sun god Baal, who is mentioned in connection with the Canaanites, where she was also known as Asherah. The worship of this goddess of love and fertility, who was actually a representation of the previously mentioned Semiramis, spread into various cultures under different names: Isis in Egypt, Ishtar in Babylon, Athena in Athens, Minerva and Aphrodite in Greece, Diana in Ephesus, Cybele and Venus in Rome, and Ashtoreth in Israel. So the word Easter was derived from Ishtar, the ancient pagan goddess of the Babylonian and Assyrian cultures, also known to the Phoenicians as Astarte, one of the titles of Beltis, the Queen of Heaven, the wife of the sun god Baal. Both Ishtar and Astarte are pronounced the same as Easter today. And what about Lent that is observed in the spring? The word Lent comes from the Old English Lenten, which means spring, created by the Catholic Church around 525 under the guidance of Abbot Dionysius. Lent is the 40-day period from Ash Wednesday until Easter that is set aside for fasting and seeking repentance. The pagans observed a period of fasting and mourning for the death and resurrection of Tammuz, the son of Semiramis. The period came to be known as Lent. The observance is not found in the Bible, so it was not recognized by Jesus, the apostles, or the early Christian church. However, nowadays, it usually just means giving up something, usually some bad habit, or even just cutting back on food or whatever, in order to please God. This period of abstinence actually originated in Babylon as a preliminary to the annual day that honored the death and resurrection of Tammuz, and later was observed in Egypt to honor Osiris, the son of Isis, who was the counterpart of Tammuz. So how did eggs come to be associated with Easter? They believed Earth hatched from an egg, which contributed to this custom. Eggs are a symbol of that of new life that returns to nature at Easter time. The custom of exchanging eggs began long before Easter was ever celebrated. It was a custom of the Egyptians and the Persians. They exchanged decorated eggs in spring colors. The pagan practice came into the nominal Christian professing world when some nominal Christians adopted the practice of using red-colored eggs to symbolize the resurrection. In England, they began writing messages and dates on their eggs and exchanging them with friends and loved ones. In the 1800s, candied eggs were made. They were open on one end and a seam was put inside. They were used as table centerpieces. Rabbits symbolized a new life and rebirth in ancient Egypt. They considered it a symbol of the moon, as the moon determines the date of Easter. The Easter Bunny's visit is based upon a German legend. The legend goes that a poor woman decorated eggs for her children to find during a famine. At the moment they found them, they looked up to see a big bunny hopping away. Beltis or Bel was also known as Molech and is referred to in the Old Testament in Leviticus 18:21. You shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shall you profane the name of your God. Note what God inspired the prophet Ezekiel to write concerning the abominable pagan practice of worshiping toward the sun. This is Ezekiel 8:15. Then he said unto me, You have seen this, O son of man. Turn you yet again, and you shall see greater abominations than these. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs turned, with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east, and they worshiped the sun toward the east. Then he said unto me, O son of man, is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger, and lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. The first commandment states, You shall have no other gods before me. One of the reasons that both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah went into captivity was because they turned to pagan worship and pagan rituals and festivals. The prophet Jeremiah writes, See you not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. So you see that even the nation of Israel turned to Moloch. The Israelites eventually sacrificed their children to Molech, as you read in Leviticus 20 and verse 2. And God says that he will set his face against them because of these evil pagan practices. So what about you? You know the truth. Now that you know the truth, will you attempt to rationalize it away and say, Oh well, there's no harm in practicing the ways of the pagans who sacrifice their children to Baal, as long as we remember Christ? But God has specifically commanded us to honor him according to the revelation that is found in the Bible. The warnings against idolatry in the Bible are numerous. They're all over the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. The book of Revelation specifically states, Revelation 22:18, For I testify unto every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book, If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. So will you observe the Lord's Passover as Christ commanded on the night before he was crucified the next day? Or will you observe the pagan practices that are condemned by Almighty God? You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through the end of the chapter, exactly what Paul was commanded of the Lord to teach the Corinthians with regard to how to observe the Lord's Passover. It is observed once a year on Nisan 14. So who will you obey, Jesus or the pagans? You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, God's Holy Days or Pagan Holidays, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-8255. 1-888-56-14. Once again, 1-888-56-14. This booklet will show you that you cannot rationalize away the things that are of pagan origin and substitute Christian symbols for them. You desperately need this book, so call right now, 1-888-86-56-14. And be sure to be tuned to this station at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy.